Micah chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 13. Of God's Word. And this is His Word, starting in verse 1. Woe to those who scheme iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. When morning comes, they do it, for it is in the power of their hands. They covet fields and then seize them, and houses and take them away. They rob a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am planning against this family a calamity from which you cannot remove your necks, and you will not walk haughtily, for it will be an evil time. On that day they will take up against you a taunt and utter a bitter lamentation and say, we are completely destroyed. He exchanges the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To the apostate he apportions our fields. Therefore you will have no one stretching a measuring line for you by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not speak out, so they speak out. But if they do not speak out concerning these things, reproaches will not be turned back. It is being said, O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord impatient? Are these His doings? Do not my words do good to the one walking uprightly? Recently my people have arisen as an enemy. You strip the robe off the garment from unsuspecting passers-by, from those returned from war. The women of my people you evict, each one from her pleasant house, from her children you take my splendor forever. Arise and go, for this is no place of rest, because of the uncleanness that brings on destruction, a painful destruction. If a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be spokesman to this people. I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with men. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. That's God's word. Judgment is coming to Judah and Israel. We heard that in the last chapter, and here it continues. And it shows us why, more specifically in this chapter, it is the sins that they show in verses 1 and 2 of covetousness and oppression and fraudulent and violent practices. And you see something true there about in verse 2 about coveting, that when they covet something, like in the 10th commandment, that leads to stealing. And the 8th commandment, breaking those two commandments. But starting with covetousness, it leads to stealing. Verses 8 and 9, you see the sins of being vicious with people, especially women and children and innocent people. Verses 6 and 7, opposing the prophets and silencing them. Opposing God's prophets. And those are their sins. And rather, in verse 11, they're delighting in false prophets. They're delighting in false prophets. Therefore, Yahweh again threatens His judgment, specifically that He will humble them. He will make them poor, verses 3 through 5, and banishing them like in an exile, and sending them into that exile, verse 10. But it is verses 12 and 13, as the whole goal here, as in all the prophets, is that the people would hear these things and repent. And verses 12 to 13, to those who do repent, to those who love the Lord, to those looking forward to the Messiah, comfort and grace is promised to them. But judgments to all the rest. And so there are people who love the Lord. Even amongst Israel, even amongst the wicked generations of these people that the prophets come against. And they repented. They love the Lord. And so you should remember then to examine yourself, as we've heard many times in the prophets, and repent, lest you be one like Israel and Judah and go into exile and be judged, not for a partial time, but for eternity. And so we ought to repent of our sins. Let's pray. Father, we have broken your commandments. We think of two in particular that we see especially, or that we talked about more especially in this chapter of your word, that of coveting and stealing, and also not honoring our fathers and mothers, or even our peers or inferiors. Father, we pray that you would keep us from coveting and wanting that which is not ours, because we know in our hearts that leads to stealing or wanting other people's things and trying to get those things in mischievous ways, ways that are not in accordance with your word, like working and earning a wage to be able to afford them. Rather, we try other ways and sinful ways. Father, that we often, whether in our lack of praying or in our treatment of people, we treat certain people in an evil way, wicked way in our sin. Perhaps because they've done something to us, or because of what they have done to another. And so even we think evil thoughts about them, and we have a hatred for them. Sometimes that happens. So, Father, we pray in these things and in the your two greatest commandments, which are a summary of these things, to worship you and love you, God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Father, we pray, as we've broken these commands, that you would give us grieving and sorrowful hearts that are necessary to truly repent of our sin. Father, we hate sinning. We hate sinning against you because you've done so great of things for us in Christ your Son. And Father, we plead that you would forgive us of our sins, but not only that you would forgive us, but help us to turn from our sins and turn back to you. Turn to you in a new endeavoring after new obedience, to obey you in all things. That we would have a zeal to and a passion for loving you in accordance with your commands, even as we pray that you would grow us in our faith. And so as we believe, we pray that you would help our unbelief. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Again, we pray for those who are struggling greatly in this time, whether they're those affected by those in Las Vegas or the hurricane, or even those in our bodies today or in our souls today of our own congregation that are struggling to love you, struggling to keep from sin, and struggling in our bodies to be healthy. Father, we pray that you would heal us in our bodies and souls, because we seek to glorify you, not only with our souls, our hearts, and our minds, but with our bodies, to serve you in humility, even before a world that hates you, to serve them, to help people, that we would have opportunity to tell them about the gospel, about your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would be saved. Father, we pray that more people you would bring into the church. We pray that you would bring your elect in at the right time. We're thankful that Christ is in full authority over all, so that as we go forth and seek, especially elders, seek to disciple, bring disciples in, that you would bring them in, because and give us confidence in our task of evangelism, because you have authority over all things. And knowing that you do so, that you are able to save all your people, all your elect, at the proper time. And that gives us great comfort. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.